But it is important as well to understand that Department of Home Affairs, we're speaking about the department that has now been moved to the security cluster, which means every day there must be security consciousness in the officials of Home Affairs in anything that they are doing in order to deliver services. Then that security consciousness comes with certain responsibilities which needs to be financed. And it is the only, maybe I should qualify it, but ordinarily it's the only department that services everybody in the country, some 50-something million people, plus all foreigners that are in the country at any given time, and some of our dear people that may have left this the face of South Africa that are underground. This department has to keep all information available as and when it is required. Everybody else that is on the ground in South Africa and underneath, and those that are intended to come into the country. We're really talking about millions of people that this department must service, must keep the information, must make the information available for all other service delivery issues. And it relies on manpower. Unlike many other departments that they can employ a bulldozer and make a kilometer of road within 2-3 hours, this one needs hands to do. And our major problem that we have had, that we need just simply to recapture, is that we have got a lot of undocumented foreign nationals on our streets. Whether you talk about Belleville, you talk about Point Road, you talk about, you name all these, Marabastad and everywhere, Bloemfontein, you have got a lot of undocumented migrants that are on our ground. We don't know them, we don't know how many they are, but the only solution for us to know them and make sure that they either get documented or deported, we need immigration inspectors. And these immigration inspectors, it is a moving target that we can't really get over it, because it requires financial resources which the budgeting process doesn't recognize. We are unable to get over that. The budgeting process doesn't recognize that the immigration inspectors is a necessity for this country to ensure security. Hence now we don't have the required immigration inspectors. Then now other issues arise now is that when this ceiling is agreed last year around January, then even Home Affairs, a decision is taken very lightly that they must cut human resources. They mustn't go beyond. And then certain offices, as we have heard from the DG, they could not fill positions because they are forced to comply with a ceiling that has been put in. And we are saying that any office in Home Affairs that is not filled and the service is not delivered, it has a capacity to undermine the security of the state. Any office. If it is in Home Affairs, you are not issuing birth certificates, or at the port of entry, then you don't have adequate people. That means all the people that cross there, then they cannot be adequately processed, all of them. And then a risk arises. So now we really need to understand exactly what are the challenges of really having correct consciousness of the Department of Home Affairs, that it is key for everything else to be stable. For everything else in the country, Home Affairs needs to be stable that it must have personnel everywhere where it is required. But currently, it is not the case. Hence, that's why we agreed that let us call the Treasury to come and have an understanding from them is that how they can actually assist the department to resolve this particular matter, to ensure that we don't have people that are not supposed to be here. And then we issue our civic documents in time for our own people. Like the question that I think is Honorable Mkhali was raising, that we have got capacity, don't have people that are going to offices and turn without getting services because staff is not there, there's a shortage. And we hope that the engagement that we're going to have with Treasury now, then it will assist us to understand, to move beyond this particular challenge. And then if Treasury is ready, then you can take us on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Firstly, I want to say thank you for taking the initiative for calling us here to do the presentation. I think the problem that we're sitting with in terms of cuts and what Home Affairs is experiencing at the moment is experienced across departments. They all are sitting with the implementation of cuts on their compensation budget, and they have to develop HR business plans to see how they can fit within the ceiling. This is the first portfolio committee that invited us to explain. I will try my best. It is a difficult, I think my presentation is going to be difficult. I won't have answers to most of your questions, but I will try to explain what is the basis that certain decisions was made, and I hope that through that I will also get your understanding in terms of the situation that we are in when we make certain budget decisions.
So we must not ask questions.
You can ask questions, you're welcome. I just feel that I hope my presentation would also give some understanding as to why we are taking certain budget decisions, but you are very welcome to ask questions. My presentation is not very long. I will try to explain and give more information as we go along, and I hope that the presentation is going to meet the requirements of the committee. If more information is required, I will provide that information to the committee as we go along. I think with the first slide, my introductory slide. I think with this slide, I just want to give the contradictions between what we're sitting with the department, the situation currently, and what is the principles that's currently implemented when we take certain budget decisions. I mean, what is the path we're going on when we make certain budget decisions. Home Affairs is one of our client departments. We are encouraged by the sound financial management implemented by the department, and we also saw the department move from a qualified audit opinion to or disclaimer to an unqualified audit opinion. We also are encouraged by the fact that we don't have unauthorized expenditure like we had in the past, and so the department is moving in the direction that indicates that the department have sound financial management. We also support the department in evolving into a security department. I know it's going to entail that they have to change their business processes, they have to change their employee composition. But we encourage that, and we also support the department in the development in the security department. This year was the first year that the department was part of the Justice and Security Cluster. That's a functional group within National Treasury where the budget is discussed. And we are sure that the department has developed some efficiencies when they have budget discussions with the other security departments. We also acknowledge the department's contribution to economic growth. We know that the department have a very important role to play in terms of stability in the country, and also as they develop the immigration function, that we will also, that will also have an impact on the economic growth. So I think that should be one of the priorities when we consider the budget. In terms of efficiency in the department, I think that maybe the committee feels that we counter the efficiency in the department by cutting the department's budget. But I think it's also important to note that we have spent a lot of money in terms of IT systems and development of IT systems, and we want to see that benefit of developing systems going forward in terms of countering the cuts that we've done in the compensation budget. On the other side, when we compile the budget, we do fiscal consolidation. So with fiscal consolidation, we tend to decrease the debt service cost, and we also try and decrease the total government expenditure. So the debt service cost currently is 127.9 billion of the budget that was in 2015-16. And the growth in the debt service cost is about 11.4% per year. So the debt service cost is escalating every year, and we're trying to reduce that. And for us to reduce the impact of the debt service cost, that leads to actually cutting departments' baselines to fit within the ceilings that we want, to, our targets that we set in terms of expenditure. We've also have implemented expenditure ceilings, that is baselines. So we try to keep the baseline stable over 3 years. So the baseline cannot increase because we're trying to curb the ceiling. And we also sort of implement cuts to lower the ceiling and to attend to budget priorities. It's very difficult to fund budget priorities. In 2015-16, we had specific areas that we had to fund, that is higher education, small business, and also monitoring and evaluation. And all of that funding came from the baselines of departments. A total of 25 billion was cut from the baselines, and this is the impact that we're seeing in terms of the cuts that we've implemented. We've also implemented from this year compensation ceilings. So after we've done some cuts, we have set the ceilings for compensation to reduce the spending on compensation. Departments had to develop human resource business plans to ensure that they keep within the ceilings. And that is also having an impact in terms of how departments operate and how they spend their budget.
Oh.
I want to get to the table, but I can't get to the table in this. It's standing. Okay, I can't get to the table on the computer, so I'll talk from the slide. Honourable members and chairperson, this is the crux of my presentation, and this is actually showing how the budget, the compensation budget of Home Affairs has been reduced, and what actually was the effect of that reduction in the budget. So we have the baseline COE budget. That's the amount there for 16-17, 17-18, and 18-19. Then we've adjusted the budget, the compensation budget, with the cost of living adjustment. So any increases should be funded from that within the budget. Then we have deducted the transfer of amounts of people working in the foreign missions. So that was a function shift to DIRCO to pay for the Home Affairs people that's currently working in the missions. And then we've implemented the cut in 17-18-19 on compensation. The cut was basically to generate a 10 billion in the first year and a 15 billion in the second year to fund priorities like higher education, small business, and performance monitoring and evaluation. And it was done in proportionately looking at the budget of the compensation budget of departments. This is your national department and your provincial department. So it's about 1% that was cut from the compensation budget. On the of the subtotal, we have the amount that was transferred from goods and services to compensation to fund the channel management contact center and also IT help desk. And that just leads us to the blue line, which is your compensation ceiling. The first year, 3.1, and then 17-18, 3.2. And 18-19, 3.3 billion. That caused the shortfall in the budget because at 31 January there were certain posts filled that your ceiling didn't take into account, and that led to a shortfall in the compensation budget, especially in your 17-18 year and your 18-19 year. So we have this situation with all your labor-intensive departments that after you have implemented the ceiling, they actually created a shortfall in the compensation budget. It was a requirement for departments, and Home Affairs included then, to develop a human resource business plan and to indicate to the National Treasury as to how they're going to stay within the compensation ceiling. And the items that we're looking at to stay within the ceilings is basically looking at projected overtime, performance bonuses, the current vacancies, and if positions become vacant, if they can reprioritize that position. So that is the strategies, and also to look at exit strategies for people at the age of 65, older, to look at how that people can access the exit the department. And they had to develop a resource plan and then indicate to the National Treasury as to how they're going to stay within the ceiling. That's a very difficult process, but we always have the added cooperation from Home Affairs. They've developed the strategies. I'm not sure how practical it is to implement those strategies, but they've developed the strategies to indicate how they can stay within the compensation ceiling. Okay, then I move to my background slide. In my background slide, I also try to explain the first table that I just went through. Just to say that during the 2016 MTF budget process, the National Treasury set expanded the ceilings That's the blue line in the previous slide. It was 3.1, 3.2, and 3.3 ceilings that were set. The department was required to manage this establishment within the allocation provided, and the compensation expenditure may not exceed these amounts. That is a very difficult process, because I think some departments develop business plans, but it's very difficult to implement. And that might also be the case with Home Affairs, that they've tried to work within the ceiling, but it's going to be difficult going ahead to stay within the compensation ceiling. And then the next point, I just indicate there that the reductions was done, 2.253 in 17-18 and 396.9 million in 18-19. And then because of the cuts, the departments had to couldn't fill the vacant positions, because if they do fill the vacant positions, they would go above the ceiling. When we look at the analysis of the vacant positions, the situation might have changed. If I have it as at January 2016, the vacancy is mainly in the provinces. 423 vacant positions in the provinces, and then we also have the second large number of vacancies we have in the Civic Affairs division, 130, and then also we have in the immigration, we have 66 vacancies. So the fact that we've implemented compensation ceilings mean that the department won't be able to fill those positions. So on the next point, we say that it was calculated on the 37/15 and then projected as the 31 March 2016. And that's also a problem, because that's why it created a shortfall in the two outer years when we had implemented the cuts. Okay. On my next slide, I just continue the background. The shortfall in the ceilings were mainly funded by vacant positions already budgeted for, and existing positions became vacant, so we indicated to the department that if positions become vacant, they not to fill those positions, because I think that would impact on the ceiling threshold. We know the department is now feeling the effects of not filling vacant positions, as the situation negatively impacts on the department's ability to deliver service effectively and efficiently. The shortage of immigration of officers at Oliver Tambo International Airport is just a case in point. In order to address the capacity, we have allocated an amount of 17 million in 18-19, and also another 17 million in 1920 to try and alleviate the situation at Oliver Tambo. We've done the reprioritization a month ago, and we issued the department with a new allocation letter. So what we've done is that we've looked at departments where it is difficult for them to stay within the ceiling, and then we look at what amounts we can sort of get from reprioritization for other departments' budget, and then we've allocated the 17 million in the second year and the 17 million in the 1920 year for them to look at the problem as to how they can resolve the Oliver Tambo situation. In order to sufficiently deal with capacity at the department, additional funding will be required as measures, such as retirement and non-core vacancies. which is redirected and not yielding the required results because the numbers are significantly low to make an impact. So we know that the department needs to reprioritize certain positions, but it's also important for the department and for us to work with the department to see which are the critical positions that need to be filled, and see if we can allocate funding to the department to fund those critical positions if they become vacant. Okay, then I've got difficulty with this computer. The engagements between National Treasury and the department, I think we have tried, apart from writing letters to the portfolio committee and to the department, and department writing letters to us, we are in communication with the departments. We had various engagements because I think there is a problem for the department to stay within the compensation ceilings. We've indicated that we had to do the cuts, cabinet approved cuts, and the department in turn has indicated that if we do stay within the ceilings, this is a problem that we are experiencing. We are also limited because if we allocate additional funding to the department, we need to look at other departments, and they are also having the similar problem. So we're basically just sort of shifting the problem around. And then there was a shortfall, which we talked about. And then with the HRBP plan, the department reviewed projected overtime, the performance bonuses, and personnel to fit in within the 17, 18, and 18, 19 compensation ceiling. In order to remain within the ceiling, the National Treasury also advised the department with a letter that departments not to fall positions to enable the department to stay within the compensation ceiling. To stay within the compensation ceiling and not to fall positions has also created problems in specific areas, and we've identified Oliver Tambo Airport as a specific area that we need to look at in terms of additional funding and to assist the department in creating capacity to deal with the numbers at Oliver Tambo International Airport. That is why we've allocated additional funding of 17 million and to try and start to resolve that problem. And then our recommendations and the way forward. I think the National Treasury will continue to engage with the department on alternative means to address the funding pressure with respect to the compensation budget. I think the recommendation from the portfolio committee will also assist the department and identify specific areas where there is a problem and where the impact of the cuts can be felt. So I think it can also be useful for the portfolio committee to make certain recommendations. And also to consider additional funding in future budget processes when the fiscal space allow. Currently the fiscal space is constrained. We were just able to transfer funding for APP from other departments. I think that we've done now successfully in this budget process. We've also looked at Oliver Tambo specifically and see where we have funding available and allocated funding there. But I think the conversation and the communication is not closed. We'll still interact with the department to address specific areas of concern. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, and I think the honourable members have heard, and I'm sure we were right clear right from the beginning, of course, is that we may not get all the answers that we require. But the fact of the matter, the last sentence that we have said, and then it's a promise that may not be realized very soon, because as you're saying that it is the physical space is constrained. I'm sure everybody is aware of that, and then that means it's just it's a promise of considering additional funds that may not be realized very soon, and but it doesn't assist us. And I think honourable members would realize that here we are actually dealing with a technical instruction which the department had no choice, actually. It had no choice. And the fact of the matter that is being raised that and then the department is cooperating and complying. It's not necessarily complying. It's just simply because there's no choice. The instruction has been issued that this is your ceiling, stay within this ceiling. And then posts have to be closed. And then the numbers that have been read and then include civic services. And civic services, that's where you are issuing the death certificate, birth certificate, IDs and passports and all those things. Then posts that were meant to fill in order to deliver those services have been frozen. Hence you've got desks that are empty at OR Tambo. But I mean, it's the OR Tambo that you're talking about of 17 million or whatever. It's just an example. You go to King Shaka, then you'll experience the same thing. You go to Ijujwa in Home Affairs Office, you experience the same thing. Peter Maritzburg, we have been having calls that talk the same thing. Every day we are crying about stealth freight somewhere around Bloemfontein, but closer to the South. It's the same thing. And when we visited in the Northern Cape, it's the same thing. Where Home Affairs has got an assistant director in charge of a port of entry that leads to Namibia, when all other departments have got directors and all that up there. But the person of Home Affairs that's in charge is an assistant director with limited powers, but is in charge of the whole port of entry. And I think that the main idea here is that it's just simply that when Home Affairs is put in a security cluster, you expect Home Affairs to adjust by bringing in security capabilities almost in each and every office. There must be some sort of a security capability that needs now to be brought in, whether it is one official from intelligence or trained in intelligence has to be appointed inside to actually come and close that little gap, whether it's a port of entry or whatever. The BMA is coming, and then to effect it as well, then you need more. And like as we're saying, is that everybody in the country, I don't think there is any doubt, Honorable Khalid, that our borders are porous. There is no doubt about that one. Okay. There is no doubt about that. It has been said left and right, day and night. And then it is expected of Home Affairs to close those borders. And you can't close those borders by going and build a wall between USA and Mexico. And you think that wall will do miracles. Still you'll have human beings that must marshal, guard, and watch that particular boundary to make sure that people don't come across. But the fact of the matter is that it's really that these technical decisions, you know, what is painful is what you have said is that your Treasury is looking at Home Affairs like any other department. And if Home Affairs is exempted, then other departments will also want that to happen. But then we've got decision making that is not conscious on the implications of this, of some of these departments. You can imagine if you just go to SAPS, you say they must cut 3,000 posts. What does that mean with policing? You can't say the same like public works, because in public works, then you say they must cut and they cut three road projects. Then they can postpone it to the next year or the third year, whatever. Projects that were supposed to be built this year. The impact is not the same as when you cut the number of SAPS officials, because then you have got more crime happening left and right. So the thing is that consciousness of the implications on that specific department when you say they must cut, what does that mean to the country? And I don't know if the honorable members will assist us, you have heard. And then I would like to open, Keka, you want to break the ice?
Yeah, no.
Even though that I tried to get the hammer and break it. But, proceed.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. You have already done that. One thing I wanted to say is that, let me start by saying that thank you very much for the presentation, even though we don't know who was presenting. We know only that
Phil
Wilson.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Chair.
Yeah, she's a chief. Adequate power.
Yeah, Chair. I wanted to talk about the last issue of that I don't understand one principle that is not followed. I know that everyone, when he does anything, he must first start with security. Even the banks, when they decide to borrow you, they will look at security. And comparing Home Affairs Department with Small Business Department, then it's like you are comparing a lizard and crocodile, only by saying that they are all reptiles. So I think in terms of governance, we need to tell Treasury that there is a need in Home Affairs to fill those posts as ASAP. And I believe they should go back and report to say that we must, not maybe we can jungle around. They must, because of security is very important for this country. It's one thing that we must bear in mind. And you know, comrades, sorry, Chair, members, yeah, sure. I think that our oversight powers must be applied sometime. You know, there are powers invested on us, but we are not using. And we believe that our executive must represent us well when they talk to the DGs, to say that this is what we want. So my message is clear, to say that go back to the Treasury, tell your bosses that the Parliament is saying that this Department of Home Affairs must be funded enough for them to fund those positions. It must be our position. We must not sometime massage these issues. That is my plea. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Honorable Kenya. No, you'll come in. Umang phakamise, umang phakamise amehlo ngibone isandla saka mamkhulu. No, you'll have an opportunity. Never worry. And again is that the Honorable Khalid must not cry because in the previous presentation she was number one. Thank you very much.
Okay. Oh. Ah. You lack of luck. For any food, you go this is a problem. I don't know. So, we can ask any questions except that. We are going to make comments, especially we're going to make a comment because we don't see where are the questions. Because this is a real problem. The department was advised not to fill if we can post during 2016-17. They referred to our police, I think the number was 430 posts for that financial year of 2017-18. Now, and as a result, the critical managerial positions were not filled. They were just the volunteers, according to the director, the volunteers that were doing the job. Now you ask yourself, how can a critical post have a volunteer? Really, as Honorable Kukana has said, that it is difficult to be a volunteer in a critical managerial post. How can you take that person as a volunteer instead of getting something? Really, this is really this is really bad. It is worse that there. This is I understand that there's something that says filling these posts will widen the shortfall, but at the same time, what does that say? If you're going to fill the posts because of that, and you say that these positions are critical, how do you expect? So really, as much as Department of Home Affairs has got unqualified audit, but this is really bad. Why are you going if you say that? And now, maybe even to go as far as DPSA, to DJ now, to make that effort of going to DJ just to check what you can do. Really, I think it is clear that, as Eric Kekane has just said, that I think something must be done by Treasury. We can't do that, like, because really we can't treat this department. If we say that really we need security of this country, what are we saying when we are saying that we must abolish the posts which are critical? We say our borders are porous here. We say that we are looking at the Border Management Authority Bill, which will assist us, the country. Yeah? So that at least the porousness can be so well. We are saying here they are also looking at the Department of Social Development. They are complaining about the flow, the influx control, which is the flow of people from the borders. Borders of South, and people coming to fetch grants from our coffers. And now even that, it also goes back to the Department of Home Affairs because those people are crossing the borders to come and have access to the grant, to the grants of this country. So really, this is a huge problem because those are funds which are supposed to be used by the beneficiaries of the country. But now, there comes the foreign nationals there crossing the borders, getting the grants of all the poor people of this country. So I think really, the onus rests on Treasury now to remedy the situation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Fiedler.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, it will look as if we are attacking Treasury, but the honest truth is we talk about the security cluster. Now, I don't want to go back to what you said, because if I think maybe I must suggest something that when we do oversight, Treasury must be involved. Then they can see themselves the first eye. We argue about the border gates there were no inspectorate. Then there was a promise that there is money allocated. I don't know, maybe less than 20 inspectors were going to be employed. Now, when you look at those things, the failure of Home Affairs, then this country won't go anywhere because it's a security cluster. Now, I feel that we're going to keep on complaining. Even if you go to the offices, most of the desks are closed. There is nobody working there. I made oversight in 3 offices in Cape Town. When I ask why this desk is closed, no, they say it's kitchen staff or something. They take staff from this office and give it to Khayelitsha. Khayelitsha gives staff to Bell and all that. Now, that situation is very bad. And the voters out there, they feel that we are failing. Then at the same time, we've got a shortage of money and we keep on attacking DG and his team about the bad service. But we are creating that. Now that's why I've got this opinion of if we can take Treasury together with us and go and do oversight, maybe they will feel. They always say the taste is in the pudding, if I'm right. So you can't know how does this water taste until you drink it. So that's why I say I don't want to feel as if I'm attacking you guys. You also have your own rights. But at the same time, you must weigh and see which is the best way to deal with this issue. And I'm happy that the office is open to discuss further. And as the portfolio, I think there were letters that were written to your department. And I still feel that this communication needs to take more to communicate about this issue. Then lastly, Chairperson, we are also busy with the BMA, as Mama Kenya said. But with the BMA, I know we're going to need somebody, a commissioner or something. That commissioner is going to cost money. Where are we going to get that money if this situation is not resolved? And at the same time, the communication between the two departments, the Treasury and the Minister of Home Affairs, I think they must sit down and conclude on this issue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. And then I'm sure Honorable Mkali.
I think the last two speakers have covered some of the issues that I wanted to raise. To start with this thing of the BMA, I think we must be told, because I can't remember the DG when he engaged us on BMA, Oguti, is any allocation that is available. Maybe we're wasting our time here. We'll be told that there's no allocation because this is a new entity. So we must be clarified on that one as well. Not that I support BMA, Chair, I don't, but because I'm a member of this committee. I'm not DG. But as a member of this committee, we must be told because we must know. But ma'am, thanks for your presentation. And let me just say that I am very happy that you just said before you started your presentation that you don't have answers. It's true. Because when I see your presentation, you just talk about engagements. It does not provide any solution to this problem. You were here. I'm sure you were here before when we grilled the DG that those posts that needs to be filled. It looks like it's a department's problem. It's inefficient of the department. I mean, we're talking about the floor, what do you call it, DG, a person? A floor walker. So those floor walkers post talk to people on the ground. That's why here we're interested to serve our people on the ground, just a lay person. When you go to Home Affairs, she or he needs to be serviced by a floor walker. So the DG can't even afford a floor walker. So I tend to agree with the later speaker to say, no, it means that the treasurer must tell us, Wuti, how do you take such decisions? Because these things of it have an effect on a daily operation of the department. And on your suggestion that you must keep on engaging, I think this matter started as long as last year. It's a year now. And it seems as if there's no concrete solution that is proposed by the department, except that the department must reprioritize those posts. And how? And then you are saying on your recommendation, in fact, there's no recommendation at all. You are saying that we must continue engaging with the department on alternative means. What are those alternative means? Because they are very clear, they want to hire people on those positions. I mean, I will understand. I thought maybe in your presentation you are going to tell us that the reason why you take this decision is just because we have discovered that they are corrupt and so on and so on and so on. I was hoping that I'm going to get such information. But no, we have taken this decision because we have disclosed that the department, they are hiring their friends, those positions are not needed, and so on and so on and so on. But your presentation is very, very silent on that one. You are just saying, no, let us implement some stringent measures. I don't know. Maybe Chair, is the problem of Treasurer is that there is no money. They can't allocate money. Maybe that is the only problem. That is the only reason that I can think of. But no, in fact, there is no money to help all departments, as the Chief Director was saying. It is not only Home Affairs, but in Tinage we are very much concerned because we serve in this community, and the Home Affairs is also servicing people on the ground. Maybe the Treasurer must also try and devise means of getting money to support departments, because these posts are needed to be filled in the department. If the problem is money, the Treasurer must devise some means. There is a problem of illicit financial flows in the country. SARS must do to recover those monies in order to channel those monies from those people and then to help departments. I don't know. I think I agree with Honorable Ficklin to say, let us sit down, maybe to invite the department itself. Not the department, I mean the committee itself, to come and engage with them just to understand. Now, what is the way forward? How do you resolve this problem with Home Affairs? Thank you, Chair.
And the document.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And thank you very much, Chief Director. I think we all understand that there are challenges and we need to cut costs. I think we all agree in as far as that is concerned. But I think we've got to be sure of our priorities. Priorities, because we've got to know what are the analysis of our costs, the cost drivers. And cost drivers that are a priority, and cost drivers that can be postponed. And cost drivers that are critical in the management of the department. And then as National Treasury says, it will continue to engage the department on alternative means to address the funding pressure with respect to the compensation budget. I think here it's self-financing. But as far as the regulations I think according to the PFMA, all revenue has got to go to the National Revenue Fund, except for funds that are clearly distinct, ring-fenced. And perhaps looking at that, there could be funding from the National Printing Works and revenue that is received from services. Perhaps there could be an increase in the amounts of rendering some of the services and develop a stream that could do that. But I think there has to be a short term and a long term. In the short term, I think we've got to address the issue of the critical areas. For instance, tourism is affected. If tourism is affected, the revenue is going to be affected. And the way it is going to affect it, it is going to reduce it, while the costs now are increasing. So I think we've got to weigh this thing in a way that looks specifically at revenue and analyze also the cost. And then my proposal would be also the department has got to be involved in multi skilling so that it can also be in a position of multitasking. So that when perhaps there is someone that is absent from another position, they could then be allocated temporarily to another critical position, and that could be managed. But because this is a security department, the DG has the Home Affairs. This DG has got to make sure that the staff morale is always at a certain level. If the morale is not at that level because of the pressures going together with excessive work pressure and without any compensation, then now there is a risk of people being creative and then starting trying to enrich themselves because of that situation. So I think it needs us all, and then we need to be engaged. But there is a short-term aspect which has got to be addressed, and whilst we are looking at the medium to long-term aspects. But definitely, there has to be an immediate intervention, and within the rules, and then within what is possible in the department, which then obviously needs people that may be senior to the chief director, that could be the DG of Treasury, together with his deputy, who can then mandate the chief director that this is the way now that we have discussed, and then try to recoup some of the funds, discourage bonuses, because we have seen that there are some departments that have got excessive bonuses. When I was in Stupa, a worker from CETA within 3 months received a bonus that was 3 times their salary. We questioned that, but the explanation was that no, this is the ball game in this type of industry and types. These skills are very scarce and so forth, which was a shabby, distinct explanation. So now, I mean, what now to manage? If you are, say, a financial manager, you've got to be a financial manager. Analyze each cost and its impact. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you, honorable members. And I think one honorable member has really gave a correct indication, is that you decapacitate Home Affairs to deal with illegal immigrants on the basis that you are saving money on compensation of employees. Then you have got the legal immigrants that comes in. Then you pay the money in the form of the social grants again out, in the form of the clinics. And then our clinics now flooded. And then we have to service them. The money jumps out again. And RDP houses, we say no, we have got 20,000 or whatever backlog on RDP houses. 12 months later, then you have got 22,000. When you have built 4,000, then you think that now it has gone to 16,000, then it has gone to 22,000, things like that. And I think all what we are saying is that while the intent from Treasury may be a good one, on certain departments it has got bad effect and bad impact, because that reduction in the monies that they think they are doing results in all doors opened for high expenditures that are consequential to that decapacitation of the department. And surely all what one is saying is, you know, on this ceiling that has been established for the department, then communicating to the DG or the department, then the Deputy Director General then says, after he has communicated the ceiling, institutions are reminded that the Public Finance Management Act 1999, particularly Section 39(2), requires accounting officers to take effective and appropriate steps to prevent any overspending in the vote of the department or a main division within the vote. In this regard, departments should exercise stringent control over the filling of posts, the composition of staff profile, and take other measures as and when appropriate. That is Dondo Mwaja. He indicates the ceiling, then remind the accounting officer that watch out of this if you don't comply. And then that's why I'm saying is we're actually talking about a technical measure that is made without appreciating the consequence on the specific department. Therefore, it is important that all that we are calling upon is, it's important that we are saying there must be correct consciousness of what this department stands for and their decapacitation, what it means to the country, the security of the country, and also the economic growth that we're talking about. And this department, as we are saying, is that we expect it to make sure that we know all the people that are in the country every minute. But unfortunately, we'll never know the people that are in this country every minute as long as the capacity of the department is undermined or reduced. Because then we'll be having 10,000 people that we don't know being among us. And I think that is more or less what is being communicated to Treasury. And then, honorable members, let's give the Chief Director maybe about 7 to 10 minutes to respond, and then we should be able to close. You may proceed, Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. I take note of all the comments. There was only, I think, two questions. So I take our recommendation to have continued engagements with the department. I take that very serious. So I would endeavor for us to do a report back to my DDG and to the head of the budget office on this meeting, and I will also include the DG of the department. And then after that meeting, we will give a feedback to the portfolio committee. So then at least we have a process that we're going to follow to give you feedback in the end. With regard to the question on the Border Management Agency, as far as I know, I've been involved with a lot of workshops and processes. We're still busy with the operational and the business model of the Border Management Agency, and the costing model as to how much money it will cost has not been finalized. So that process is still ongoing. So at the moment, the honorable member is right, there's no money allocated to the Border Management Agency. I also take note that we need to look at the solution over the short term and long term. I think that is well said. We will look at that. So in our engagement, we'll look at what solutions we can discuss over the short term and then over the longer term. I also like the suggestion, which is for me positive, that we must look at the Department of Multi-Skilling, so that when we don't have the fund to fill vacant positions, that we can sort of reprioritize positions with people that are multi-skilled. We also take note that the department is a developing into security department, and it should also receive higher priority in terms of funding when it look in comparison with the other departments.
Okay, but I think one of the comments that came up here is the issue of the vacant positions that are very critical now, that specific areas that the department must be allowed, whether they jump over the limit or not, that those positions should be filled. I think I heard it came out and then very, very clear. Of course, is that you have got other protocols that you operate within. And then, DG?
Yeah, just one comment. I don't want the committee to look at the paper and say, hey, what is happening now? Chair, when we will be coming in March to present our APP for the following year, but based on that decision that we didn't fill any position in the 2016-17. So now because those people have left, then we're eating out that money to able to create some positions based on that. But now we have started to advertise two posts, one for the CIO and refugee. So I wonder that if the committee says something on the paper, not to say, but you said it's based on what is not posts which were filling in the 16-17, is in the 17-18. But yeah, when we come on March, we'll be able to show that as at January, as they use that figure, we're at 9,566 positions, and how many people have left from that number, and then what was the difference between a ceiling of 16-17 and the ceiling of 17-18, and then now that gap created now for this. So I wanted just to explain that to the committee.
Okay, but now is that what is very clear is that given this salary increase engagement that may happen at any time when the workers feels like, if the increase is more than what you provided in the MTF, then will that not also have an impact as long as this ceiling remains? Because then it may mean more positions to be kept in abeyance. So I think it's, I think the what is much more crucial is that we just simply request Treasury not to work theoretically when it comes to the security department. They must also appreciate the implication of those decisions. It doesn't help us. It may help those so-called the financial managers, those bureaucrats that are, you know, specializing in financial management. But service delivery is something else to judge financial management. Service delivery is something else. Security of the state is something else. And we need really consciousness on those things. And then so that we are able to explain things. Because every day we are told that the borders are porous, we are allowing a lot of people. And then we have to explain ourselves why we allow foreign people to come in the country. And then budget. But we beg you to explain that. They say, why don't you close the border? And then it is impossible to close the border under the current situation. And we need to be assisted. And then the security cluster needs to be assisted to be able to do that. So that internally, then the country is stable. And when it is stable, then it is able to devise plans for economic growth and all that. And allows people, as and when they are required and with the contribution that they come to make. Not people that they come to affect the economic growth negatively. That's the challenge that we are having now. And honorable members, proceed.
No, let me.
Okay.
No,
If I will motion, then they will take us on for 1 minute.
Yeah, no, Chair. Yeah. One thing that I wanted to request to you in particular is that maybe in future engagement, as we are legislated to oversee the executives, I request that in future we need to see the DG and the minister. Not to say that I undermine the staff or the officials, but our mandate is to deal with the executives. I'm afraid that Aplini tomorrow, Mr. Aplini tomorrow can send a deputy director. So, and we can be able to say that no, Matt, you are out of order. I thank you.
No, I think let's leave it at that. And then, of course, the invitation was to the Treasury in the name of DG. There is a mandate officer from the office of the DG. But sometimes, like as we say, we would like to speak to somebody that must take decisions there and then.
Yes.
It's very crucial. I would scotch. Yes. Then we speak and take decisions, and then we know that when the meeting is closed, there are resolutions that have been agreed, things is going to happen. But we will try and deal with that particular matter. We hope that they will carry the message back, and then while she's communicating the message back to the office, she's going to defend our argument. You're not going to defend the DG's argument. You're going to defend ours because you are here. Now you are our carrier. Yes. So, thank you very much, and then we thank you for having come here, and then we hope that the department will receive the context of our discussions, and also then assist the department to be able to do its work, and then we'll await the responses that the department will arrive at. And then once they are finished, please communicate that to the secretary. Then we'll have them. Then we'll plan and arrange a date that you'll come. And then, like as the honorable member said, we may ask even the minister to accompany that you on that day to come and brief us so that you are able to take certain things a little bit forward. Thank you very much, and thank everybody that this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.